Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, Christian Watson, and more with Dr. Jesse Morse, sports physician at Dr. Jesse Morse on X here. Quarterbacks are one of the big storylines as we go and barrel towards week one here. Let's start off with some Achilles. We got Kirk Cousins. We've got Aaron Rodgers. They're two big ones. Older quarterbacks, obviously, you know, anybody that's been 22, anyone compared to 35 or 40, you know, your body is different. I was just curious about re-injury, the fact that they've missed so much time. And obviously, both of these teams, huge expectations, whether they have those quarterbacks on the field or not for the fantasy around them, but also their NFL results.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it was an interesting situation how the Cousins situation played out, because they spent a ton of money on him and they basically drafted Penix at what, 8 or whatever it was. So the fascinating thing about Achilles injuries in the past couple of years, I've definitely seen a huge spike. They could call it, you know, it's going to be multifactorial. Is it turf? Is it COVID? Is it, you know, vaccine? Like, I don't know. You'll never be able to, prove anything. But there's definitely something, I can tell you that. The last time we had a NFL quarterback with an Achilles tear was Vinny Testaverde.
Huh.
And before that was Dan Marino. That's it. An N of two that I can find. So what are the odds that two tear their friggin' Achilles in the same season? You know, we've seen plenty of running backs. We've seen plenty of defensive ends and stuff like that. And it makes sense, right? They're explosive. They're constantly loading and pushing off. I get that. Defensive ends constantly loading and trying to sack the quarterback. I get that. What the hell is Kirk Cousins doing that's going to load that tissue? He's not running anywhere. Rodgers doesn't run anymore, right? He does, and that was his front foot. The difference between the two, obviously Rodgers is, what, 5 years older-ish? He might be healthier, but, you know, both are actually pretty iron men. Rodgers hadn't missed a game, maybe one game, since I think it was 2017 or something like that, like a long time. He broke one clavicle, missed, I don't know, a half a year, whatever it was, and then he broke the other clavicle and then basically missed the other half a year. That was it, like – Rodgers had the calf strain a little bit before that, maybe something to that, you know, not completely surprising for those that may remember Kevin Durant, that kind of happened to him. But the difference really between the two is that Rodgers is his front leg, his plant leg, whereas Cousins is his rear leg, his power leg. Now, I don't know if it's going to be enough for Cousins to impact him from up. And, you know, a throwing the ball energy perspective, because remember that, think about Joe Burrow last year when he strained his calf and then he tweaked it again. He couldn't do anything in the first like month. Like, he was awful. Like, and he was underthrowing, overthrowing, like he couldn't step into his throws and push off. And that was his rear leg, if I remember correctly. That was just a calf, not an Achilles. And if you've ever seen someone who tore their Achilles, their calf is never the same. Like, it will never be the same size as the good one. So I don't think it's a big deal per se. They're definitely both going to have less mobility than they previously did. Cousins is what, like 8 months out, 7 months out or something like that. And I think Rodgers is what, 9 or 10 or whatever. I personally think Rodgers could have came back. He would have been a statue, but I think he could have played, you know, remember, his upper body is still perfect, quote unquote perfect. He wouldn't have had quite the energy he was going to be able to do, because he can't completely step in and kind of plant the throws, but he can still manipulate with his eyes. He can still put the ball he needs to. So I'm not overly concerned. Garrett Wilson is a stud, so I think that just helps him. Breece Hall is also a beast. I think they'll use Malachi Corey. He's kind of like a Debo Samuel-esque, hopefully with better hamstrings. And then Cousins, you know, Cousins was an Iron Man too. That dude never missed a game, and since he started as a starter, he went like 8 years or 10 years without an injury. Like, he never missed. It was who he was. It was just like, yeah, the dude plays every game. And then he just gets this weird freaking freak Achilles. So it's like, you know, he's got an embarrassment of weapons, right? Anybody would kill for Pitts, regardless of what we think of him. Bijan is a freaking freak. And then Drake London, you know, maybe has top 10 potential or something like that. We'll see, depending how it plays out. And he's got some other weapons there. So I'm not overly worried about either. I don't think they're like top 10 I don't think they have the rushing upside, obviously, and I think that really hurts them. And you could say, hey, well, what about Jared Goff or Matt Stafford? They're probably going to throw for equivalent or more. You just have so many guys in the top 15. It's like, well, there's only so many guys you can put in 15. And I have about 8 or 10 guys way higher than them. So I think they're a good fallback, but they're neither of them are something I'm going to personally attack unless you're doing like a best ball, stack or something.
One follow-up, and neither one is a mobile quarterback, so it's not really about rushing production and getting outside the pocket. The question I would have is, what about the micro moves? You know, the Tom Brady of managing the pocket, maneuvering within the pocket, where it takes 2, 3 shuffle steps. It's going to be, are you fractions of a second slower or less dynamic because of this Achilles slash calf that, like you said, never the same? Is that something where, like, I remember Matt Ryan, and this wasn't due to a specific injury, but when he went to the Colts, life was just different. He slowed down. He couldn't get out of the way of the rush. And just that little bit of pocket mobility, could you see that being an issue with these guys? Just like older Achilles and just those little swerves out of the pass rush are now, they're taking bigger shots and they're actually not even getting the ball out.
Very much so. I mean, and unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast. We won't know until we see him live, right? Neither of these guys are likely to play in preseason. If they do, it's probably not going to be a whole lot. They're not getting any true pass rushes right now, right? So we really are not going to see this until it counts, till it matters. Rodgers, both of them did stem cells after. That's kind of my specialty. I know the guy. I know the company that Rodgers used, and then the other, and then actually, a Cousins went abroad. Went to, I think it was somewhere in the Caribbean. But either way, I think it was a good supplementation. I think it was logical. Rodgers' surgical technique was impeccable. That's Alitrash did it. That's who did Cam Akers. So I'm not really worried about that. He'll have his bumps and grinds. It'll be interesting to see if he loses some of his mobility. I think Rodgers has the competitive advantage of being a couple months ahead or whatever. And he's the type that will do crazier stuff. And maybe Cousins is too, but I know Rodgers definitely is. It'll be interesting to see. I'm actually not as concerned about them as I'm concerned about his Burrow.
Do you have a couple bullet points on Burrow? Because he's another one that, are we going to get the ceiling back? And frankly, when we had the ceiling, he's not much of, he had some rushing element, but like you said, the short, the long, the inconsistencies we saw with his calf injury, it was pretty alarming to watch because he was trying to play through it.
Yeah, so I mean, think about it. He struggled to stay healthy. His first year, he had that crazy ACL tear. Then he's had a couple bumps and bruises, had two monster seasons, top eight, six, top eight, somewhere around there. Then last year, tweaks his calf, what, second day camp, whatever it was. Babied it, then came back, still was not looking good. And then he had this freak kind of wrist injury. And that was it. The problem with this wrist injury, so initially we thought it was what we call TFCC, which is basically the ligament complex that's underneath our pinky that's responsible for like kind of turning a doorknob, like that kind of motion. But that wasn't the main injury. He might have had that, and most of us have that. But that wasn't the main injury. The main injury was actually called the scapholunate injury or ligament, which is a complex underneath the thumb. Now, the problem with this is that ligament sucks. It never heals. That's why they had to repair it. The scaphoid is a very important bone, kind of making up the bottom layer of the wrist. And for throwing, it's very specific. Like it's kind of like a dart motion. The issue here is, and I've talked to a couple surgeons that do this surgery that are hand surgeons. There's never been an NFL quarterback that's had this injury. We don't know, but just there isn't one. Like there's been some others that have had similar injuries, but not this specific ligament.
That probably
So,
makes you nervous, right? When it's something involved in touching the ball and it's something we've never seen, it sounds like the range of outcomes on how this goes short term and long term is pretty pronounced.
I mean, and that's the, if everything goes perfect, great. We don't worry about it again. I have this weird fear in my head that he, gets sacked or gets knocked and he tried to brace his fall and he tweaks it,
Right.
right? And I don't know. I just got this weird
If your
Either
hand
of
doesn't go flat and it goes down with thumb first, right? That's
Yeah, I mean, it
exactly
could
the
be
type of
land on
move.
someone else's leg. Like,
Right.
anything can happen. These guys get knocked every which way. So, like, that's, is it a realistic fear? I don't know. If you were to put a number on it, I think there's a 15 to 20% chance he re-injures it or injures something compensating as a result of it. Did he have to throw his change his throwing motion? Did he lose any touch or velocity? I don't know. I do not know. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So we he's an unwritten book, and I wouldn't say directly tied, but I think a lot of Chase Jamar Chase's value is tied to Burrow. I mean, we saw Chase have a fantastic, but I think we could say you'd probably not be as high on him if Burrow was not starting. I think that he probably wouldn't be a top three wide receiver, in my opinion, if Burrow was not the quarterback. I think I would probably say that.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
One that is we've watched really closely is Deshaun Watson. There's been such a myriad of A coverage, B reaction to Deshaun Watson, going all the way back, obviously, to the trade, the contract, the general poor play. He ends up, missing time for good last year after that huge comeback game. I believe it was against Baltimore, but his best game so far in a Browns uniform. Shoulder fracture, and he still talks about how this isn't right. Like there's still a lot of dialogue out there that he's not right. What's the long-term effects of this? Is he going to be right? We're getting late in the game, tick-tock of this off-season to say we should be super confident in week one. Like, where do we sit with this? It's such a long-term question mark we've had for years now with Watson.
Unfortunately, he will never be right. And here's why. He might be able to play, but that shoulder will always, in my opinion, will always be an issue. I want you to think of the shoulder as like a golf tee with a golf ball kind of sitting on it. So it's, on its side. So the golf tee holds a golf ball. He fractured half of the golf tee, half of the rim. So the problem is there's a labrum or a thick piece of ligament that holds that golf ball onto the golf tee. I don't know how much of the labrum he tore, but I'm assuming he injured some of it. And the crazy part is that has nothing to do with his first shoulder injury. That's a completely separate part of the shoulder. The other injury he had was what we call a subscap injury. This is basically a seat belt motion, this kind of across your body. This is a very weird muscle. It's a huge muscle. It's right in the front here. It comes in, swaps around, and attaches to the front of the shoulder blade. So it's on the front, so not the back, but inside. And it's basically like almost like loads. It kind of like, unloads to throw. So I'm curious to see if any he has any new mechanical issues, right? Because he had that crazy injury. He's got this new fracture. I don't know what else was injured in there. And now you're asking him to throw it 20, 30, 40, 50 times a game. I just feel like it's a matter of time before something else happens. Mind you, this is, to my knowledge, at least the only active player quarterback that has bilateral like ACL tears. He has a history of, remember, he tore both. one, and then the year and almost 2 years later, he tore the other one. So it's not like he's been the healthiest guy, you know. And now he's got this weird injury. So I definitely have some concerns. I think they're realistic concerns. You know, most shoulder injuries in quarterbacks are kind of scary, right? Kind of like baseball pitchers, kind of scary. There's a lot of moving parts in that shoulder that have to get right. Well, do I think he makes it through the season? I'm not sure. I don't know if I would put a wager on it because it could go either way. Everything would have to go perfect for him to play all 17, though. I will say that. You know, and then I'm sure there's a lot of haters that do not want him to, you know, don't want to see him play, you know, and whatever, because of XYZ. But it's an unfortunate kind of injury, weird, really rare injury for a quarterback, but significant. If it was his non-throwing shoulder, it wouldn't be a big deal. You wouldn't even know about it. But unfortunately, it's not.
So it sounds like you wouldn't be surprised if, A, his career is shortened from a load perspective, A, he's never the same perspective, another couple awkward falls or drives to the turf from a defender, game on, right? And just in terms of, hey, he's not dealing with a sound socket, like you're saying, the bone plus the ligament. There's some Frankenstein stuff going on in there is kind of what you're saying, that will never, he's going to have to learn to be this way. And then in week 14, when he takes a shot, he might have to learn a different way. It's kind of what you're saying on the floor.
And what's to say he gets hit and he lands directly on his shoulder in the frozen ground?
Right.
Right. I mean, that's part of the thing. It's like I'm holding my breath every time he hits, every time he throws, every time he lands.
And he plays pretty wild too. You watch him, some of these runs he does, I mean, it's like he's taking shots. He's not Lamar Jackson, and he's running around like he's a slippery running back, and he's not. That's the worrisome part for me. He needs to dial back, and you kind of wonder if those synapses can actually change his play style, where they say, hey, you got to stop taking these shots. You know, if it's a conference championship game and it's third down in the fourth quarter, you know, maybe you take that chance. But week three, plenty, hundreds of snaps to go. How about you don't? So,
no question. Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you think about it, like I grew up in Boston, so I watched Brady forever. Like, what was Brady good at? Avoiding the hit, just kind of throwing the ball away, like never First trying to do too much, right? He
Plays
wasn't
over.
Much. It was like, you know, fourth down and you're losing or something.
Yep.
But he just, if the play wasn't there, that was it. He didn't try to make magic. He just, all right. Next, live to the next down. But some of these guys try to do this, and you know, they get locked, you know, they get walloped, and or they just, you know, they get the hand hit on a helmet, or you know, all these weird scenarios, and then they get injured, you know, and they're making crazy money, right? That's a separate discussion, but crazy money. So it's, there's significant impacts to the cap. So they start to lose value around them. So they really have to play at optimal level for everything to go perfect for them to be a winning team.
Right. I've learned more about hamstrings through Christian Watson than I knew all of the rest of my life combined. I will say I did learn on a personal note, I had a muscle imbalance that led to some cascading stuff going on, and I've since fixed it. I'm crossing my fingers you have good news about Christian Watson, that this 20% imbalance, I'm trying to get it to 8%, 7%, whatever it is, he's found apparently the skeleton key that can really help him specifically. I hate hearing about hamstrings. I was one of the biggest fans of Will Fuller, and it basically derailed all but one season that we found out he was on PEDs. Christian Watson, what can you kind of share on this story? And is this something that, based on what you're hearing from what he's done and what he is doing this offseason, is this something we can be optimistic about, that he eventually puts together a 15, 16, 17 of 17 time season?
Yeah. So if you look at Christian Watson's injury history, all you see, well, there's a lot of stuff to it, but pretty much all you see is hamstrings. Sometimes we lose context and we don't know which side it is or which muscle in the hamstring, but in general, you have to see a lot of hamstrings. So my suspicion is it's probably a repeat injury. So there's a lot of variables to hamstrings. Is it a re-tear of the same tissue, like Dolchik, like Julio Jones? Or is it a different location? Is it a different leg, right? The other thing that I want you to think about is why. So if you have, say your hamstrings are 2 feet long, I don't, whatever. And they're under a certain amount of tension. Now, what happens if one hip is higher than the other? That hamstring is not going to magically get longer. That tissue is going to be under more tension.
Tighter, yeah.
Right? So what happens if you force it on that side? You're at higher risk for tearing that one because it's already under more tension than the normal side, we'll call it. What if there's an issue sending a signal from the spine to the nerve, through the nerve, through one of the hamstrings? Is that why he has a muscle imbalance? I'm just giving possibilities. I love that he took a deep dive somewhere in Wisconsin this offseason and tried to figure out what's going on here with people that pretty much only study hamstrings, which is kind of cool. And he found that there's a massive size balance difference in his hamstrings. The question is it going to be enough to prevent him from having these? Because it's great to identify the problem, but can you logically
step one? Step one is admitting you have a problem. Step two is actually doing something about it. And step three is seeing that it works.
Yeah, and then the question is, okay, great, you identify the problem, but is that just a symptom or is that actually the problem? And then the question is, what can you do about it that's legal and that's realistic and that's going to be long-term, right? We see the biggest spike in soft tissue injuries, i.e. hamstrings, in the first 6 weeks of the season. But this dude gets them so randomly that it's like I'm holding my breath every time he catches the ball. If you told me that he caught 3 touchdowns and went 10 for 150, I wouldn't surprise me at all. If you look at the data, somebody just put it out last week, when all of the major weapons were on the field in 2023, he had the highest YPRR or target percentage, whatever it was. Like, he was the guy they were targeting. The problem is he can't stay healthy. So and personally, there's certain guys I'm willing to roll the dice on. He's not one of them. It's not worth my headache. You know, in my opinion, has the same issue that Deebo Samuel faces. I'm constantly like, please don't tweak your hammy. Please don't tweak your – is he dynamic? No question. But until he can prove a full season that he doesn't tweak it, I personally wouldn't draft him. Because you could find someone that has less risk, maybe not quite as much upside, but less risk, and he's not in that same potential platoon as that team. You know, could be Kraft, it could be Wicks, it could be Reed, you know, they got Jacobs. Like, there's so many moving parts to that offense. If he's, you know, 15th round pick or something, okay, that's worth the risk. But if you have to kind of reach for him, probably not worth my while, personally, my while.
Yeah, and one of the bigger things I think that you said is there's more, you know, him doing more work on one side versus the other and you know, the rebounds. But what you mentioned is we're not symmetrical beings. You know, like what you said is there's a lot of wiring, there's nerves, there's also different lengths and tensions. And so anything he could be doing, it might just be leading you down a rabbit hole of a false sense of confidence or a false sense of, oh, now he's fixed it. You know, life is good again for a guy that this has been a repeated issue. And figuring it out in Wisconsin in one off season may not be, you know, the highest confidence band of outcomes here.
I wish him the best of luck and I hope he figured it out. I really do, but I'll just say I'm cautiously optimistic.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I have one centric question about TJ Hockenson. We know he had an ACL, an MCL. It was late in the season. I basically want to know the likelihood that he's going to go on the PUP list. And then is there something specific July, August, late August, early September we should be looking for? Is there some sort of trajectory that's either A, positive, or B, not positive in terms of defining how that first 4 to 8 weeks of the season goes for him?
I think there's probably a 70 to 80% chance he starts on the PUP.
Okay.
Why? He had a decent ACL tear. But that's not the problem. It's the timing of it. I have to look at my notes, but I'm pretty sure he had the surgery in January.
Yep.
Add 9 months to that just to make it easy.
Yep.
This is a high-level player. This is a multi-ligament knee injury. Adds time. This is a important player to them, for them. And you don't want to rush this back, tweak something, and miss them for another whole season, right? Or you know, more than that. I think he should be part of their core between Jefferson, who they just paid a ton of money, and likely McCarthy. I'm assuming he's part of that whole element. With that being said, the talent is there. There's no question about that. I want to know, when is he cutting?
Okay.
When is he cutting? I don't care if he's straight line running. That doesn't do anything.
We'll see videos in August of him running, yeah. Right?
If he's running and stopping on a dime or cutting like shimmying, okay, he's close. If he's like just walk running straight and then he like kind of rounds out that corner, he ain't ready yet. You know, and are they really in a position to start him in week one? Maybe. I don't think so. So I just don't get the impression that they're going to push this. If he starts before week four, if he's not on the PUP, I'll be surprised. And the ADP, if it hasn't, should reflect that.
The other thing I would ask is this something where we're going to see him really be a shell of himself the first, like whether he's PUP or not PUP? But like he's cleared to, you know, he's going in, he's playing games. Are we going to see a half speed from our memory of what we remember seeing from Hockenson healthy? Is this going to be something that takes a month or two and it might be December before we really say that's Hockenson, or maybe even 2025 before we say that's a dynamic guy that was one of the top players at his position?
All right. So I'm going to give you some references. There have been four tight ends that have torn their ACL and returned in the past 4 years since 2020. There wasn't in any 2020. That's the Burrow Saquon year. Logan Thomas, not quite the same skill level.
Right.
The following season, 14 games, 39 receptions, 323 yards, tight end 32.
Yikes. Less than 10 yards a catch. Yeah.
Robert Tonyan played all 17 games, caught 53 passes. This is still when Rodgers was there. 470 yards, finished as the tight end 20.
Yeah.
Max Williams, not really relevant per se, but I'll just comment because he's there. 11 games, 3 catches, 18 yards. Not 2020, returning in 22. Zach Ertz, much older, not as mobile as he used to be. Only played 7 games, caught 27 yards, and 27 catches and 187 yards. Tight end 43. And then him, Hockenson, and Higbee, oh, that one kind of flown under the radar, both tore theirs this past year. So the question becomes, you can't really directly compare to any of those guys. It just doesn't, there's no direct correlation. I don't think we will see him 100% until 25. He will still seem rusty in 24. I'll say that.
One more, and probably a quick one, and it's another hamstring. So we're kind of circle all the way around back to Christian Watson. But Jelani Woods was a little bit of a mystery last year. And a lot of people held him. If you didn't have IR spots, it's like, well, Jelani Woods is too good. He showed a lot of promise in 2022. And I don't want to cut this guy. It turned into he's out the whole year because he re-aggravated his hamstring in August. It was a bit of a out of sight, out of mind. And I would just love to get your take on, we've seen some positive reports now. Do you put him in a highly concerning camp? They're talking about how he's such a mismatch there with Steichen, there with the Colts. They're talking him up that, oh, this is just going to be a normal. He had his year off. He's going to have a normal ramp up training camp, preseason, week one. Hey, let's not worry about this. They didn't really add to the tight end position. Jelani Woods, like, can you go kind of back in time? Why was it just so declarative of, like, we never even heard a whisper of him possibly coming back last year?
So this is a great question. So let me pull up my injury history for him because I know he had the bad hammy, but I want to see what else he had before that. I'll wait for it to load. So I do an injury draft guide, I call it, every year, and I have sleepers at each position. I think I give two or three. Jelani Woods was my number one tight end sleeper last
Yeah.
year. I was really high on him. That stupid hamstring injury derailed everything. I had him in a bunch of leagues and I held him just like you said, because, as far as I was concerned, I didn't think he was going to be done for the whole year. And unfortunately, unfortunately he did. But so, that's the tricky part is, the dude's 6'7", 250s. Like, that's a big dude, right? So his injury history, he had a couple unknown injuries in 2018 and 2021, had a high ankle sprain in 21, had a mild shoulder injury in 22, and then he injured his hamstring in OTAs, which is now, and then he re-injured it likely in August, and that was it. That was it for the whole year. So he doesn't have a big injury history that we know of, some things we don't ever hear about, but this is one of the guys that you can get for cheap that could be a monster. The talent is there. We've seen that. And remember, a lot of the tight ends break out way later, right? 25, 26, right? I mean, he's 25. So, it's not like he has to be fresh at 22. Like, there's not many rookie tight ends that just go nuclear. It's usually a couple of years. They're like, oh, yeah, this guy's kind of good. So I think, everything goes right. I think he could be a top 12 tight end. Obviously the hamstring has to cooperate, but I love me some Anthony Z. Richardson. I'm not overly worried about his shoulder, his playing style, different story. But I mean, between the monster and Jonathan Taylor, between Pittman, Downs, who looks sneaky, Adonai Mitchell, and Woods, they got kind of a nice little offense going. So and no one is as big as Wood. That dude is huge. So I think he could be a sneaky little red zone threat if Richardson doesn't want to run it in. But I think that you definitely, if you look at the tight ends this year, there's like, your top five, six guys. And then there's like, all right, what the hell is this? And you kind of get ugly quickly, I'm personally off Hawkinson because it's not worth the risk, whatever the price is going to be. Ingram, okay, maybe you can interest me there. But I love Woods. Likely he's going to be pretty much irrelevant, unless, in my opinion, and unless they start running two tight end sets, which would be interesting. I think Woods is kind of in that sleeper late possibility that has massive upside, but you're not going to cost. He's not going to cost you a lot of capital, and he could be a legit. He's not going to be a top five guy. I don't think he's going to get the volume to do that, but he could be a sneaky decent guy.
Yeah, and it seems like what you're saying is week one, week two, we'll see if he's back to 2022 form relatively quickly. And frankly, it sounds like they put him on the shelf. They didn't try to rush him back. They didn't try to return him in December. And they were a viable push for the playoffs type of team that they certainly could have done that if he was close or something. So he's gotten this full ramp, full recovery process to hopefully be as positive as the Steichen reports are, that he's ready to go, everything looks good, and we're great to have him back.
Yeah, I just don't want to hear about a hamstring injury because I'll be really disappointed.
Yeah.
So again, he's another one that I'm cautiously optimistic on, but I'm way more optimistic about him than Watson. Watson scares the hell out of me. Woods, I'll play with that fire again. I'm okay with that. Again, it's a lot of it has to do with cost. If it was top, two or third round pick, okay, that's not for him. It's not worth the risk. But it's not. This is a guy that you can do as a bench spot. So I think for me, I love me some Jelani Woods in 24 from what I've seen so far.
Excellent. Dr. Jesse Morse, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents. Where can folks find you, and what are some of the things you got in the hopper that we can expect to be a differentiator? And as you help us with our fantasy teams and our NFL player injury outlooks here for 2024.
Yeah, I was running the Fantasy Doctors, and I closed that a couple weeks ago. Unforeseen stuff. Transition that to a new company. I haven't completely announced yet, but it's coming soon. I will have a ton of content. I'm doing a lot of high yield stuff. I won't do as much video stuff, but you will have a good feeling which way to go for each player, injured player. I know this stuff really well, as you could see. I'm not looking at any notes. I'm not reading anything. This is all the top of my head. And that allows me to continue. I keep this close knit because I need to monitor it personally. I can't depend on other people because they don't look at the same things that I do. And when the grind starts, it gets crazy. You get 50, 60, 70 players injured at a time if you're following all the, if you have more than one or two or 10 fantasy teams. So I will have everything at your fingertips. You just need to figure out who you're worried about. And it'll be cheap. It'll be a behind the paywall just because, I don't like to work for free, but it'll be worth your while. I'll make it both best ball redraft dynasty kind of linked. I have the injury histories for most of the rookies. Some of them are tricky to find, but and that'll be out in the next 2 to 4 weeks, sometimes still in June. If you're going to the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, I'll be there.
Excellent.
Most of the time I'm on Twitter. That's my primary. I'll use a little bit of Instagram and some of the other stuff, but not, I'm not as good with that. So if you have any questions or something, just reach out to me on Twitter and I'll happy try to answer that for you.
Excellent. Dr. Jesse Morse, like I said, sharing his time and talents here on Under the Helmet. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep living those dynasties.